Hello everybody, it's Mr. Tall 23 back in another video. I'm going to be continuing the video which I started on, I think it was Monday, when I made the first part of this, and I'm going to continue it and just finish that today. I do have all my files from my old computer moved over, so I'm going to start doing those videos again in just a couple days. Now, today's Friday, but I decided not to do the Book of John study. I'm going to wait till next week. Thankfully, I'm off work on that day, so I'll be able to work next week on, or no, I mean, make the video next week on Friday. So I'll continue through the Book of John study. There's only three chapters left, 19, 20, and 21, and then we're done going through the Book of John, and then I'll start with the Book of Romans. But that being said, I also need to start again with actually studying the Book of Romans myself, because I haven't had the Logos software, which is the one that I use to take notes. So anyway, I'm going to continue with this study of who Jesus Christ is. Remember, again, I made an Instagram account posting about the Bible and theology, and that's where I'm getting my notes from. I posted a few things on there, so that's basically what this video is. And the first video I talked about 9 different titles of Jesus, and today I'm going to talk about 8 more titles of Jesus Christ and of who Jesus is. So firstly, we need to understand that Jesus is the judge as well. In the first video, we talked about how he's the Word of God and the Son of Man and the Son of God and the Christ and the Savior and the High Priest and all those. But Jesus is also the judge. The Father has given Christ the authority to judge the world. As Christ said in John 5:22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So God will one day judge both the living and the dead according to the scriptures, for he is the judge of all in Hebrews 12:23. It is written in 2 Timothy 4:1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom." Now, of course, if we read a little bit more into the Bible, those are two separate judgments for the living and the dead. The quick, meaning the living, there's the judgment seat of Christ in which people are judged according to their works, where they will be given rewards according to the things which they've done in their body. That's explained in 2 Corinthians 5:10. But then there's also the judgment of the dead, the judgment of the sinners, which is described in the book of Revelation in Revelation 20, where it says in verse 11 and 12, "And I saw a great throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are in the books according to their works." Now, another thing about Jesus is that he is the Lamb of God. Jesus is called the Lamb of God first by John the Baptist. In John 1:29, it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, this name acknowledges the sacrifices of Christ on the cross as a fulfillment of the Old Testament feast of the Passover as given in God's law in Exodus 12 and Leviticus 23. So read those chapters, read Exodus 12, and you'll see the similarities between that and what Jesus did on the cross. Of course, he died on the day of Passover, if you read the Gospels, and he was also called the Lamb of God. All of our sins were placed onto him, and it's through his blood that we'll be saved from God's wrath. Just like on the first Passover, it was the blood on the lintels and the doorposts in Egypt, that was the blood of the Lamb. That was what, I'm trying to think of a way to describe it, that was what led God to pass over those houses and not destroy the firstborn son of all those houses, okay? That was the sign. And similarly, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, we are saved from the wrath of God. Now it says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And it says in 1 Peter 1:19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The Old Testament gives the requirement of the Passover lamb of having no blemish. And that represents the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, our Lord, he is called the Lamb of God because his shed blood gives us redemption. And he's worshipped in heaven as the Lamb. As we see in the book of Revelation, he is called the Lamb throughout that entire book. It says in Revelation 5:11-12, "I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now Jesus, alongside being the Lamb of God, is also the Lion of Judah. An angel in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, called Jesus the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, the Lord, of course, was born into the lineage of Judah, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and it shows the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 18, that Jesus was descended from Judah through his mother Mary. And it says in Hebrews 7, 14, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." Now, so alongside being called the Lamb, which is a harmless animal prepared for sacrifice, he is also identified with the ferocity of a lion. This is because when Christ returns, he shall come to destroy and to rule. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8 says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Jesus, as just mentioned in that verse, is also our Lord and Master. The Bible calls Jesus the Lord many times. The Bible tells us of the supreme authority of Jesus by giving these titles to him. In John chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am." That's Jesus speaking. So he says, "Yes, I am Master and Lord." Matthew chapter 23, verse 10, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." So this shows that Jesus has power over all things. He's also called in the Bible the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it's not just that he's the Lord, but he's also the Lord of Lords, meaning that he has authority over all rulers of this earth. He has supreme authority. Christ said in Matthew 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." So all flesh and all creatures in heaven and earth are under the authority of the Lord Jesus, and one day they shall all bow unto Christ and confess that he is Lord, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, where it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus is also the light of the world. As he said in John 8:12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 12:46, "I am come a light world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus explained that through him, we who were sometimes darkness, as it says in Ephesians 5:8, can escape the darkness of sin. Within the Lord himself is no darkness, as it is written in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which ye have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." The scriptures tell us that the light of Christ exposes darkness, which is sin. In John chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, which we know to be Jesus," according to John 8:12, 9:5, and 12:46. "And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 to 13 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." So the reason why he's called the light of the world is because he exposed to men their sin. Now, Jesus is also the promised prophet. In the Old Testament, the Lord promised Moses that he would raise up a prophet like unto him. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 to 19, it says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." The people who Jesus preached unto acknowledged that Jesus was the prophet promised by the Lord through Moses, and so did the apostle Peter. In John chapter 7, verse 40, the people said, it says, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. They're not just saying a prophet, but the prophet, because they recognized him as the one that was prophesied by Moses. Acts chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. The context of this is Peter preaching unto the Jews in Jerusalem. He's preaching about Jesus, and he says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto one of your brethren, or unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So Christ, as the prophet promised by God, spoke only the words commanded to him by the Father, as it was promised in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And see John 12:49 for evidence of that, where Jesus says that the things which he speaks were commanded to him by the Father. Jesus is also the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then in verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Since Christians are associated with the sheep in the fold of Christ, this title shows that although Jesus is Lord, he also is our overseer or our caretaker, because that's what a shepherd is, one who oversees and herds sheep. So for this reason, Jesus is also called, alongside the title of shepherd, he's also called the bishop, meaning overseer of our souls. First Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Therefore, since Jesus is our shepherd, we know that he is our guide through life. And a perfect scripture for that is Psalm 23. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, is what it says. Jesus is also the mediator. The Bible teaches that there is only one mediator between God and men, and that is Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. A mediator is a go-between, one who acts on behalf of two parties to reach reach reconciliation. This position is connected with Jesus' position as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which we talked about in the previous video. Because Jesus intercedes for us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Through this intercession, or coming unto God on our behalf, we can be reconciled, which is to restore to friendly relations with God. As it says in Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So it is only through Jesus Christ, because he is the mediator between God and men, that we can be reconciled unto God. That is also why Jesus is the only way to salvation. Now, I just want to do a quick recap over all the things that we've talked about in this video and the previous video. It's kind of short, both of these videos, compared to some of the videos which I've done in the past, but it's a very just quick discussion of the person of Jesus Christ. So who is Jesus? Some people think of him as just a good prophet or a good person or a good teacher from the past, but the Bible teaches much more than that, that he is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. He is God in the flesh. He is the Word of God. He is the Son of Man, the Savior. He is the Holy One, our High Priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Judge of all. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Master. He is the light of the world, the prophet, the good shepherd, and the bishop of our souls. And he is the mediator between God and men. That's who Jesus is. So because of all this, we ought to give Christ the glory and the worship and the admiration and the honor that he deserves, because he is the Lord. He is God. He is the Savior. Okay, without him, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be alive, and we definitely wouldn't have eternal life. Okay. Now, other titles of Jesus, which are given in the Bible, because these aren't the only ones, but other truths about who the person of Jesus is are given throughout the scriptures. And I'm not going to go in depth into these, but just name a few. Towards the end here, that he's also the first and the last and the beginning and the end, as it teaches in Revelation 22:13. The Bible says that he is called faithful and true in Revelation 19, verse 11. The Bible teaches that he is the head of the church in Ephesians 1:22, that he is the rock, 1 Corinthians 10:4. He is the way, as I said earlier, the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. He is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He is the bright and morning star, Revelation 22, verse 16. He is the heir of all things, according to Hebrews 1, verse 2. He is the messenger of the covenant, Malachi 3, 1. And he is the Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4, 2. So all of these things and several other titles and names for Jesus, the Bible also calls him the Lord of Glory, the King of Saints. There's other things I can't really think off the top of my head that we haven't gone over. He's called the Amen, the Root of David, several other things. But we understand that Jesus is who all this world revolves around, especially as Christians. People who are watching my channel, people who have been subscribed to me, you know what the scriptures teach about Jesus and how important he is. But a lot of Christians today and other people who necessarily aren't Christians but might consider themselves kind of Christians or might know a little bit about Jesus don't really view him in the proper way that we ought to view him according to the scriptures. Because remember, this is the word of God. This is who Jesus is. We wouldn't know who Jesus is without the scriptures. Okay, everything that is written within this book, okay, was what Jesus himself spoke as commanded him by God the Father. Okay, so if we want to know the person of Jesus, who he is, we want to know what he wants, then it's through the scripture. It's not through what we want to believe. It's through what the Bible says, the word of God. So we ought to give him glory and respect and worship and admiration because of who he is. Remember earlier I read from Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, and then there's also verse 13 after that, where it says, blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. So that's it for this video. As I said, I'm going to get back into my normal videos, or I guess this is kind of a normal video, but the videos which I had planned before next week or maybe tomorrow, who knows, sometime in the next week or so. And then I'm going to get back into the schedule of doing the Book of John studies next week, next Friday. So I thank you everybody for watching. That's it for today. Thank you. God bless you and goodbye.